Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our scenario is part of the Delta Green universe, which is, as you know, an extension of the Lovecraftian universe, but set in modern times. This scenario was written by Brett Kramer, with some modifications by our GM, Jeff Wilkins. And so, without further delay, the players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Jeff?
Thanks, Tom. First, a disclaimer. I rushed through this trying to prepare. Crammed as much into my head as I could, so bear with me if I make mistakes and all that. All right. Why don't we... Let's start with each of you introducing your code name and a brief physical description of your characters. Tom, you want to go first?
Sure. My name, my code name, is Agent Ty. I am usually dressed in a business suit. Usually a very simple black one. I am very serious. I want to make sure that that justice is served in all manners. That the American people are always safe. My desires are to figure people out. I find that fascinating, and I am always looking for dangerous conspiracies that might be subverting the American people. And that's about it for me.
How old is your character?
My character is 39 years old. Okay. Tall, thin, dark-haired, somewhat muscular, although wearing the suit all the time, you can't really tell. Well trained.
Bill, you want to go second?
Sure. I am playing Agent Skolnick. Bonus points if you understand the Revenge of the Nerds reference. Agent Skolnick, if this were Fight Club, Agent Skolnick would think that he was Brad Pitt. But in reality, Agent Skolnick is Edward Norton. He is boring. Agent Skolnick is an MIT graduate. He's very good at computer hacking. And he got caught, though, unfortunately. So now he works for the U.S. Justice Department. He probably has an ankle bracelet because he's a flight risk, because he's afraid. He thinks he's Edward Snowden. He's a freedom fighter trying to stick it to the man. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he performs in this his first job for Delta Green.
Age, roughly? How old your character, roughly?
Oh, sorry, my character is 35.
35, okay. Almost the same age. And Corey, last but not least.
My character's code name is The Chemist. He's been in a car accident. His leg is, you can see that he really can't move as fast as the rest of you guys. He loves to do puzzles, and he is very, very smart. He's graduated from UCLA, and he just likes to, he's kind of in the background. If he has to, he will go out in the front and, you know, talk and be kind of active. But usually what happens is he likes to stay in the back and behind the scenes.
Cool.
Age 32.
32. All right. So you guys are all roughly the same age thereabouts.
Yeah, in a line, yeah.
Agent Skolnick, before you get the call from Delta Green, where in the country are you? What is your normal, typical day like at this time?
Agent Skolnick really doesn't have a place of residence. He's usually staying in a hotel. You know, the Justice Department probably sends him all over heck and half of Georgia. So we can just say, you know, wherever you need me to be or in that vicinity, we can go there. That's fine.
Okay, great. So we'll say Phoenix, Arizona.
Sure. Yeah.
Good. I'm not so sure the Corey and Tom, if you should have known that much background detail, so don't metagame that part. We'll play that like that was just the character introduction.
Okay.
Let's see. How about you, Corey? I was thinking maybe your character would be based like in Silicon Valley. Would that work for you?
That works for me.
Okay, great. All right, so you guys are going about your normal everyday business when you get the strange text on your cell phone with a green triangle, which you have already been trained. You already know that's the signal from Delta Green. They've sent you vague information that says you need to get to Los Angeles as quick as possible. From there, you will then be contacted and you'll be given an address. And then it'll be up to you to get to that address. The meeting time will be at 8 p.m. And we're just going to set the date of like 2 days ago. So it's like literally modern day. Okay, I guess it was literally it'll be today. Agent Ty, I'm going to have you already based in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So kind of last minute, you grab your stuff. You weren't expecting to go today, and you were kind of hoping you'd get more notice. So you're kind of packing quickly. You're grabbing whatever you think you might need. They haven't given you much detail, except that it should be less than a week. You'll be gone. So a few days, you probably fit it all in a carry-on. You get to Los Angeles, and you're given instructions to meet at an address at 8 p.m., and they tell you that you should probably take a cab. Once you arrive, tell the cabbie to leave. Obviously, don't give them your real name, and we'll say it's 8 p.m. Let's make it 11 p.m. because I want it to be dark. You give the cabbie the address, and he kind of looks at his little finding. He's like, "This is where you want to go?" And he's like, "It's not coming up in my my system here, but don't worry about it. I'll get you there. I'll get you there." So he takes off driving, and around 11 o'clock, you all arrive. Well, who wants to arrive first? Does anybody want to get there early? Or,
well, since I live there, it's probably me.
Okay.
I'll get there second.
Second, okay. In your second set of instructions, you instructed to that once the cabbie drops you off at the front, you're instructed to go around to the back of the building. There's going to be a red door, and then you can it will be unlocked, and you can go in from there. Make sure nobody follows you. You get there, and Agent Ty, I want to know, when you get to the red door, do you wait or do you immediately go in?
I look around to make sure that nobody is looking or walking down the alley or anything. I follow protocol that, you know, if I'm walking towards in that direction and there is somebody within visual range, I just keep walking. I can come back in 5 minutes. But if there's nobody, I just go right up to the door and immediately go inside. I don't hesitate.
Okay. Perfect. Corey, anything different or same thing?
I'll do the same thing. Just check if anybody's in there, or anybody going by. If not, then I go in.
Okay.
Is it in like an alley?
I'm going to describe it in 1 second. Skolnick, you're going to do the same thing or anything different?
No, I'll just walk in. You know, I'll give a cursory look and look left, look right, look all around, look up, and then just kind of walk in.
Yep, good. And you guys have been trained enough to take precautions. You were not followed. You're absolutely sure of that. Now, so when you get to, when the cabbie drops you off, you guys are a little bit taken aback because what it is, it's a building and it's still under construction. There's nobody, it's not, there's no lights except for maybe construction lights, maybe a few emergency lights. The walls and everything are built, the stone walls. And what it is, it looks like it's going to be like your typical box store, like Sam's Club or BJ's, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So it's pretty big. You get to the back, there's clearly nobody around. You walk in and you all arrive and you're all sort of standing there in the dark now.
Is there any indication as to where we should go from here?
No, that's what you kind of walk in and it's just, it's everything is mid construction. So there's lots of pallets and there's, you know, cinder blocks laying around and stuff like that.
But it's fairly dark on the inside.
Yeah. There's a couple emergency lights set up. But for the most part, like you can see, but for the most part, it's dark.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. The three of you are there now. So if you want, you all can either introduce yourselves to each other or not. I will say that generally speaking, you don't want to give away too much character information of being a Delta Green agent. Because it could always come back to bite you should you be captured. So you're basically protecting your loved ones by not sharing personal information. Now, that's not to say you can't share that information. Should you guys get to the point where you all trust each other with your lives, you may at some point decide, this might be the last time I get to send a note to my wife, and you're going to be the person that delivers that message. So it's just a general guideline.
Gentlemen, I wouldn't ask that. We're obviously all here for the same reason. Are any of you the handler?
No, I thought you were the handler.
No, not me, boss.
Yep. So there must be somebody else who's not here yet, or perhaps they're here and they're watching us. In any case, Agent Ty.
Go ahead.
I put on my hand that I'm the chemist.
Well, that makes it easy to decide to guess what your specialty might be.
Yep.
I'm Agent, and I hesitate to say the name. I'm kind of embarrassed by my code name, so I'm Agent Skolnick.
Skolnick.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah. Interesting. I think they were having fun with me. Maybe it's a punishment.
We might as well share a speciality since we're obviously going to be working together. I am excellent at covert operations and stealth. Human intelligence problems. I'm also pretty damn good with a gun.
I do computers, and if you got human intelligence, I got signal intelligence covered.
Excellent.
I break into things.
And you know what my specialty.
Bartender?
Chemist.
Chemist.
He makes things out of things.
Yes.
So after this introduction, You've waited long enough. It doesn't seem like anyone else is showing up. It's been about 20 minutes or so. And then all of a sudden...
Is this like...
Yeah.
Okay, is there like nothing in this room? Like absolutely nothing?
Pretty much. I mean, there's like construction equipment. There's bricklaying material. There's metal studs going up. Bunch of shelves everywhere. But for the most part, like there's no other people around.
I was hoping there would be like a tape recorder that we could play and like it smokes at the end of the message and, you know, we all get our assignments. And
it's actually quite reasonable to believe that there may be some sort of a test here. Something written on the walls, on the floor.
Yeah.
I did not bring my luminol kit.
Yeah, let's make this difficult as possible.
Well... If we're going to be honest about it, I was hoping to move up the ranks in our organization at some point, so perhaps this is the challenge.
Wonderful.
Just hope I don't have to kill the two of you in order to do it.
I hope I don't have to kill you, so.
Awkward Delta Green agent talk.
You could try.
And with that, you guys hear the distinct sound of a metal clink that sounds like a Zippo lighter.
It's the smoking man. I knew it.
Not too far away from you, you see a face light up, and she is smoking a cigarette.
The smoking girl. Okay.
She's a somewhat elderly woman. She looks very smartly dressed. Kind of like a business pantsuit sort of thing. Graying hair. She's got kind of a permanent scowl etched on her face, though. She doesn't look all that friendly to approach.
That's the handler.
Frau Blücher.
I sort of indicate to the gentleman, I think, that we found the person we're looking for, and then I just walk over towards her.
Yes, and she introduces herself. She says, "Greetings, gentlemen. My name, you can call me Agent Judy. Judith. Sorry, Judith. I prefer Judith. I appreciate you dropping everything that you were doing to get here in the allotted time. So I'm just going to jump right into this. I feel bad in a sense that when I explain this to you, I expect to see some rolling eyeballs. You all are being tasked to identify or look into a report, what I like to call a UZO, an unidentified zany object.
Huh.
There, I'll tell you right from the beginning, there may be nothing to this at all. But that said, the higher-ups have made this decision to put you guys on this case. So if they think there's something going on, then maybe there is something that needs to be looked into. Agent Ty, you've been selected because you're familiar with this area. You all are going to be headed up in the direction of Mount Shasta.
Ah. Well, if your zany object is located in Shasta, that's quite appropriate.
Well, there is a slight twist in that it's not literally in Shasta. It's in that area. It's going to be, I have the maps here, but it's going to be roughly 2 to 4 hours drive north of Shasta. So it's almost on the border of California and Oregon.
Wairika, Weed, Dunsmere?
Yeah, further than that. It's going to be, and with that, she's going to take out a folder. And she will hand it to whoever takes it first.
I'll take it.
Okay. Now, we can go through that in a second. But basically...
What happened was, about 15 days ago, there were two men arrested.
Ah, nice.
There were two men arrested for alleged marijuana grows. I'm going to show you their mugshots here. Okay, can you guys see that?
Whoa. The crazy eyes.
Okay.
Those are some quality witnesses, man. Quality.
The gentleman on the left, his name is Paul Giordano. And the gentleman on the right is named Doug Anslinger. They are currently under arrest. Now, where this gets a little interesting is that when the Agent Ty, I'm not sure if you can help me on the pronunciation of this. I believe it's pronounced Siskiyou.
Siskiyou.
Siskiyou County?
Yes.
Siskiyou County Sheriff's Department is currently has them. Now, when they were being interrogated, the gentleman in question tried to offer up a plea deal. And they claimed... They claimed that they had found amongst their potential marijuana field evidence of a UFO. Now, as you can tell by looking at these guys, the Sheriff's Department did not take them seriously. But they showed up on our radar because there's a group known as Saucer Watch. They're based out of Northern California. And basically, they're UFO hunters. They've got a website, which I'll show you in a second. And we monitor them. They have come across some interesting things, and we keep an eye on them. And we discovered that there's some chat amongst them that came up talking about these two guys and the possible UFO. So first of all, we were a little concerned as to how did they find this information out. And with that, you know, you can be opening the file at this time and start going through the packet. The first thing she'll talk about is that there's a printout of the website. The website name is Semper Vigilis, which I believe means always vigilant. And in there, there's a, on the printout, there's a person that posted in a private chat who goes by the screen name of Shasta Lass 62. In that communication, she's talking about the case with these UFO people. Now, it's come to our attention that we've identified this Shasta person as Laurel McPhee, and she's actually the secretary with the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Department. She starts looking through the papers again. First of all, are there any questions at this point? I don't mean to keep talking here, but...
Oh, Mr. Gunslinger, what was his first name?
Doug Anslinger, A-N-S-L-I-N-G-R.
Henslinger. Okay.
Just the letter A, Anslinger.
A, Anslinger.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you said Gunslinger. I thought there's an interesting last name.
Somebody said get the H out of there, and they did. They don't get any better, people.
Very interesting. Not at all unusual for the area. There are a lot of cults and UFO people and New Age groups that are in and around Shasta.
Yes, so we're going to come back to that. We were able to obtain some of the police report in what they were charged with.
They were actually discovered in a town called Happy Camp, California.
Happy Camp, yes.
They were arrested for drug paraphernalia possession, possession with intent to sell, or intent to distribute, and also trespass. There's another printout, and this details a transcript of telephone calls that was dated 2 days earlier. It's between a man named Hal Jameson and a man named Anton Kobesi. In this telephone conversation, they are talking about the location of the site, and it's known as Bear Mountain. And it's B-A-R-E, not B-E-A-R. In this transcript, the two men are talking, and the one gentleman, Hal Jameson, who we believe is one of the office people who works at the Saucer Watch, he's questioning Anton, saying, you know, do you really put any creed into this? Do you think this is a good lead? And Kobesi says, well, from my understanding, these guys are just a bunch of druggies. But he has gone online, and he's looked at some of the satellite imagery, and he says that it could be promising. There is a chat log later that same day between Kobesi and his wife, Dina, D-I-N-A. And the two of them are talking, chatting back and forth, and they're very excited. They're excited to get a lead. And Dina says this could be a Valley 1A incident. And Judith looks up at you and she says, I don't know if you're familiar with the terminology that they use, but that basically means it's a UFO observed on the ground.
Okay.
Valley 1A, huh?
Yeah. He indicates that they have tracked their credit card records, and they were able to determine that they've already booked a hotel in Happy Camp, California, called the Skellhaven Motel. And they should be due to arrive tomorrow morning at some time. Judith looks you over, and she pulls out a duffel bag for each of you, and she hands it to me, and she says, I've gone ahead and taken the liberties to provide you with some cover identification. And if you guys open the duffel bag, you'll find that there's like a army green fatigues, and you see on the shirt there's a patch on the breast pocket, and it's for the National Fish and Wildlife Agency.
Corey.
So you guys have an official driver's license, which will,
okay,
upon reasonable close inspection, it's going to look real. But if an authority finds it and sees it, he may raise an eyebrow. Now, mind you, these names are fake. If anyone looks this information up in a database or tries to find you, they will not find anything.
Well, we should try very hard not to give them any reason to look at our ID.
Exactly. And I'll leave it up to you. If you guys choose to come up with a better plan, or if you think of something else and you don't want to use this information, that's perfectly fine too. Don't feel obligated to use it. One more thing she says, there's, if you get out there and you do find signs of a UFO and you find signs of what might be considered hostile activity, I'm giving you a burner phone, as she'll hand that to Skolnick,
And she says, there's one number in that. That number you can use to call me. Now, I don't want you to call me for any other reason except for that. Where, if that's the case, you call me and I will notify the next cell, which we will call the A cell. And they will go in and they will take care of any hostile aliens.
Yeah, I couldn't get assigned to that team.
Nor could she.
All right. This seems like very straightforward. We're going to go in there. We're going to investigate all of this. We'll write up a report when we're done. And if we find any aliens, we will call you on the phone.
Yes.
Agent Ty, you said something about you're familiar with that area. Did you have any additional background that you could provide the team as far as stories?
Well, I've been to Happy Camp. Are we going to be staying in Happy Camp? I'm afraid that hotel has probably got 4 rooms.
I thought it was a nudist camp.
No, it's it's just a little hole in the wall. Wairika is the nearest big town, and it's only got a few thousand people in it.
One stoplight.
That's right in the middle of the Trinity Alps. It's millions of acres of dense forest. You could hide an army out there if you wanted to. And it's pretty much mountainous up and down. Lots of it. The Pacific Crest Trail goes through there. Shasta itself is just filled with all kinds of, I hesitate to use the word crackpots, but they're all a bunch of crackpots. There are religions that have to do with the Lemurians. Have you ever heard of the Lemurians?
Nice.
Basically, the people who once lived in Atlantis eventually moved to Mount Shasta, and they live underneath Mount Shasta.
Let's get us some Hollow Earth theory going on. Yeah,
there's the Ascended Masters. They also live in the mountain. There's a character who's referred to as the Comte de Saint-Germain. Supposedly, he was born in the 1100s. He showed up in the French court in the 1600s, in the German court in the 1700s.
And now he's being channeled by a lady.
No. He's not dead. Supposedly had a hand in helping George Washington and Benjamin Franklin draft the Constitution. And he showed up in 1930 on Mount Shasta. And there's a whole religion there of the IMs, I believe, is what they're
this
called.
This is Weekly World News territory. Yeah.
This is, and of course, it's also major Sasquatch territory.
Nice.
So,
bonus points for.
There's a lot of, if there's anything there at all, there's a lot of stuff to weed through to get there. But I know quite a lot of the legends. I mean, and some of
wildlife aren't. People, so it's a perfect cover to wander aimlessly through the woods looking at stuff.
I have a funny story about that. I know I knew a fish and wildlife guy. He said that told me that there were a couple of doctors from San Francisco went up there into the Trinity Alps and decided that they would go hunting for the first time. And they came down the mountain with the biggest deer they had ever seen in their lives. And the fish and game people fined them $5,000 for killing a great elk. Wasn't a deer. It was a great elk. Endangered species. So, anyway. Yeah, this should be fun and entertaining. It's beautiful up there. This time of year, it's gorgeous.
I bet you it's really beautiful.
But I don't think that we're going to find any aliens.
Fingers crossed.
Judith points out the duffel bags and she says, I've already given you the burner phone. There's going to be a separate handheld GPS unit.
Okay.
You can use that if you want. There's going to be a set of walkie-talkies for each of you, which has a scrambler on it, so your communications amongst yourselves will be secure. She's going to give you $2,000 in cash, and that will be able to, you could hopefully secure your lodgings for the night and anything you need to buy while you're up there.
Right.
Okay.
We got airplane tickets. Are we flying?
Yes, you will be flying out in about an hour. I realize that doesn't give you a lot of time to prepare, so you're going to have to act quickly if there's something you need to either research here or obtain as far as equipment.
I'm sorry, when are we leaving?
In about an hour.
Oh, crap.
They are scheduled to be there around, let me see, so it's about 11:30 now. 12:30, you'll get there about 1:30. They're scheduled to arrive at the hotel around 8 a.m. So assuming everything goes smoothly, you'll probably have about a 6-hour jump on them.
All right.
When you get to the airport, it's going to take you to the Rogue Airport, which is actually in Oregon. It's north of your location, so you're going to have to drive south and then back up and over to Happy Camp.
Yeah. I'll drive another way.
Sure.
Let me show.
I'll ride shotgun and control the radio.
That's good.
I'll show you briefly a map here, so you can all have a rough idea.
Outside the game, I really did live right down the road from there.
Okay, so that kind of the big red line is the border between California and Oregon. The X is approximately where Bear Mountain is. The line underneath of that is Happy Camp. The line to the, I guess, to the right as you're looking at it,
mm-hmm. is Wairika.
Wairika, yep. And then down below, you've got a dot by weed. I just thought that was funny. And Mount Shasta there is the big A. That's the volcano.
Big volcano, 14,000 feet. Yep, brings back old memories.
That's roughly your route, just to give you a quick Rogue Valley International Medford Airport.
So head south and then take a right.
Yeah.
You can't miss. There's not really any other direction you can go except to San Francisco.
That's my town.
Once you get into Happy Camp, there's a small road that heads north towards the mountain. And at some point, which is on the map, there's a fire road. It's just a dirt road where you can head off that. And that'll get you close to the mountain. It'll probably get you within, I don't know, a mile, maybe 2 miles from the mountain. From there, you're going to have to hike in.
To get this straight, we're heading towards this Paul and Doug's place on Bear Mountain, where they have seen this UFO?
Yes, it's not, I don't know if I would call it a place. It was a field that they were attempting to grow marijuana in.
Okay.
So there should be nothing around it. There's no buildings. There's no, you know, it's not like you're going to their house.
So it's off the beaten path.
Right. Yes, right. Very much so.
There was a lot of illegal marijuana growing up there in secret fields. They used to all be booby-trapped, but now that the laws have changed.
We'll take some samples just for science, of course.
Yeah. And be careful. You mentioned the booby traps. Be careful because these gentlemen were on that property illegally. They were trespassing.
Yeah, so there's very likely booby traps.
Even though the laws changed, I don't think these guys were playing by the rules.
Yeah, so what about the actual owner of the land?
I believe it's government property.
Okay.
Probably owned by a paper mill or something like that up there for that area.
Yeah, there are logging trails, that sort of thing up there.
Okay. Do we have coordinates that we could plug into the GPS or that we could document
in case we get lost? I don't have them handy, but yeah, for the sake of the game, we could say
Okay. Yeah.
Now, just to be clear, though, the information that we have that we're giving to you is we're giving you the location of the Bear Mountain. This is a big, huge mountain. So we do not know the exact location of the UFO or where this weed site is. That's what the Saucer Watch people have. They have that information.
So we need to get that out of them somehow.
You either need to... I'll leave it up to you guys. You could either approach them and try to get it out of them, or you could follow them because that's where they're headed. So you could just tail them, you know, try to be stealthy about it and just tail them. But that's your call.
Steal their laptops. I could hack them and we could read it.
Yes. Yep. That's one possibility. So you got a couple ways to go about it. At this point, there should be no reason to believe that they suspect anyone to follow them. Now, if you do approach them and you come off as being weird, then you might raise some doubts.
So, well, it's depending on how weird they may embrace us as fellow travelers.
That's what I was thinking. If we act like agents, then they're going to be suspect.
Yeah. Well,
if we act like weirdos, we have to consider that. We may dress down for this, may look like hippies, and we'll fit right in.
But what if we wore civilian clothes? And we're UFO. We were members of MUFON. We were also investigating the UFOs. Yeah. What if we were members of the message board?
I think the smartest thing that we should do is use some stealth. I think that given the nature of those trails up there, and I've never been to Bear Mountain, but given the nature of the ones that I have walked. There's pretty much just one way in and one way out. So we can at least get to a point way ahead of them, stash the car and wait for them to show up. And they'll have to pass us at some point, in which case then we can start following them and they'll have no idea.
Yeah.
They'll certainly not know that we followed them from town. We headed them off.
So how do they have this information and we... who have the dudes locked up in the Siskiyou County Huskow, you know, why don't we have that information? It just seems weird that Saucer Watch is this bastion of intelligence for UFOs, and yet we can't get this information.
Well, what we could do is we could go to the Siskiyou County jail on the way... If we're going into Medford, that would be the other direction. But if we could get the information from the guy, even in the middle of the night, telling them that we're fishing game and we're going up there to destroy the marijuana fields, they may give us the location. The police may. And then we can still head off the... I'm not sure that'll work. The timing might be way off on that. It might take too long to get to the county sheriff.
Yeah, you know, I talked to old Agent Scully here, and it's like, this just doesn't make sense. You know, if Laurel Wolf leaked it, and she's working for the sheriff department, and now Hal and Anton's wife, they're all heading up there. I don't understand why we can't get the coordinates to the pot field, and because that's where they saw, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of the pot field, right? That's where they saw the UFO. I don't understand this big, you know, why do we need to have contact with Dina and Anton? You know, I say we just go to the pot field, and that, to me, seems where the investigation should start.
Yeah. I mean, if we can find it, the pot field will definitely be hidden. It won't be right off the road.
No.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But if we've got GPS coordinates, we've got a handheld GPS.
We're only talking 4 days ago. which means that there may be, if it's a pot field where they were actually growing enough pot to make money, then there has to be a way in and out that they could bring in a truck or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. That's going to leave evidence. We're going to find maybe not a road, but we're going to find a place definitely where the bushes, the trees, everything's been cleared back. Maybe we should just decide once we, you know, let's think about it for a while. Think about it while we're on the airplane. Think about it while we're, it's not a long flight, 2 hours maybe.
Now, is there a per diem on the flight? Do we get to have some drinks or, you know?
It's not an international flight.
It is a privately owned jet that has,
nice.
Has no markings on it for some strange reason.
Oh, one of those.
Some strange reason.
You mean no frills, like JetBlue or something?
No, it's like private jet. Like some rich dude owns it, and he's a UFO hunter himself, and he wants to help us out.
Well, all right.
When you get to the airport, you also will be provided a Jeep Cherokee, so you will have a four-wheel drive vehicle.
Oh, nice. Good. Excellent.
Yeah, that's always useful.
That will help a great deal, at least getting us most of the way there.
Yeah.
Bring your hiking boots, baby.
This time of year you don't have to worry about warmth. Not this time of year. But yeah, we're good hiking boots if you got them. And
so we're yapping. We should be getting to the airport.
Yeah. And
so I say, you know, say bye to old Agent Scully. Grab the backpacks.
Miss Judith has given us the hardest task of this entire thing, and that's getting into LAX in less than an hour. So let's go.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a cab magically waiting for us outside the door?
No.
Come on.
Oh, we have to walk? Yeah, we'll never get there.
You can call a cab.
Come on, Agent Scully, you can do it.
We better call a cab. We better call a limo and tell them we need to be in there now.
Don't spare the horses, Jeeves.
Yeah.
In reality, I hope she means that we're leaving here in an hour for our flight, because an hour, you better be in LAX before an hour, before 2 hours before your flight. But anyways, let's go.
So you do have roughly 45 minutes or so to either start planning things out now, or as you're driving, or if you want to stop someplace and get equipment. I mean, it's almost midnight, but like, you know, 24-hour superstores are open.
The 24-hour secret agents who need camping gear store.
Right.
Definitely need those kind of boots. I normally wear, you know, dress shoes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go to the 24-hour shoe store. Where I can get.
I'll just wear my Doc Martens.
I will also go with you grab and go to the 24-hour wherever it is.
24-hour payless.
It's Los Angeles. There's got to be one in there somewhere.
Go to the nearest bodega. They will help you.
All right. So other than my normal gear, that's probably what I'm one thing I need is the hiking shoes.
So, let's see. So, in-game, you all won't know this, but I'm going to ask you, are you all armed?
Yes.
Yes.
Always. Okay. So, that's not an issue. This is the type of mission you're not going to need submachine guns and bazookas.
No. So it's basically I only have two pistols. That's it.
But that said, if there's anything you're specifically looking for, I'm open to ideas and things like that.
Well, I gave you a list of what normally I'm carrying. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Sasquatch tranquilizers.
All right. So you mentioned something earlier I want to come back to. Happy Camp is a little tiny town. Like, you blink and you're right through Main Street. As far as I can tell, there's only that one hotel.
Yeah.
You guys want to stay at the same hotel as them, or do you want to figure out other lodgings?
Oh, it's that or camping.
Right. That's also an option.
Well, we're there for a mission. We might just, you know, what are our plans? Are our plans to drive there?
Here's the thing. We have the cover. Remember, our cover is fish and wildlife.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's nothing mysterious about a couple of fish and wildlife agents. We're out on inspections. You know, the government is cheap. They're going to billet us out at the cheapest hotel. You know, three people to a room. I mean, we just kind of need to play into their preconceived notions of fish and wildlife. You know, we're boring. We're nondescript. We're just walking around, counting birds, you know, looking for fires.
It's also highly possible that we are fish and game just out camping. Now, we'd spend a lot of time out in the Trinity National Forest, and there's no place to stay. You just got to camp. We could say that we're studying the bear population or the
anything like that. Something, you know, pick the most mundane, boring thing. We're counting, you know, the rare titmouse or something, you know. It plays right into the public's, you know, we'll be invisible. Because it's a Pacific Northwest town. They're used to dealing with government agencies. Fish and wildlife is the most mundane. Just, you know, don't attract attention to ourselves. Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. You know, I think we'll be fine. I think we're okay staying in the hotel.
What time is it? 11, 12? It's going to be early in the morning. We're going to try and... let's see. I was going to say that we could get camping gear when we get to Medford. But I don't think anything's going to be open at 3 in the morning. So, not in Medford. I guess we should get some camping stuff now. A four-man tent. Some sleeping bags.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're bound and determined to camp, then yeah. I mean, let's go ahead and do it up. Lanterns.
I'm thinking.
Well, you never know what's going to happen, right? So let's be prepared. Grab camping gear, whatever, water pouches, sacks.
Yeah. I'm thinking
MREs.
Water skins. So
I'm thinking what we should do is we get there, we get to Happy Camp, we take this road, realize. You said they're going to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning.
So like you said, we have a six-hour head start.
Well, yeah, it's 11:30 now.
So we're there by 1:30.
Our flight will probably get there. Well, it's the flight's not leaving the second we arrive at the airport. We'll probably be in
Medford. It would leave when you arrive. It's a private.
It's a private jet. It's not like we're going to have to go through TSA frisking or anything.
Right.
So 1:30, we arrive in Medford. It's going to take us at least until 3:30 to get to Happy Camp. And then they're going to be arriving at 8:30. But we don't want to be there when they get there. We want to be, you know, on the trail. Somewhere ahead of them, waiting for them to drive past. Is that the idea, or do you guys want to do something else?
So we're going to the most obvious, the most obvious tail ever?
No, we're not going to be a tail. We're going to be there first because we're just fish and game people out here studying the bear population.
Sure. And then they drive past.
And then we're like wondering who they are. And so we'd
light it up and pull them over?
We could do that.
Stop, I'm fish and wildlife.
We don't really have to We just have to, you know, that's what fish and wildlife do, is they come up to you and they ask you what the hell you're doing in their area.
Right there. Fish and wildlife.
Do you have a pair? Do you have a wilderness permit? Do you have?
I've got my one bullet, and, you know, I'm not afraid to use it.
So we can talk about that, but all right. So we should be there about 3 o'clock in the morning.
That'll give us plenty of time to nap and discuss amongst ourselves, because it is a private flight. We don't have to worry about being overheard.
Oh,
there's a degree of.
You sleep?
Yeah, I sleep.
I sleep too.
I haven't slept in like 35 years.
That explains a lot.
All right, let's go. We better get there.
Giddy up.
So as I understand it, your camping gear, you know, it can bulk up rather quickly. So give me a sense of, are you guys like trying to think of everything and grabbing everything you can, or are you trying to go in kind of light?
A tent. I've got a tent in the other room here that packs into a thing about this big by this big by this big.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it all pops open.
So like each one of you would have an individual sleep tent?
No, it's a four. So mine's a four-man tent.
Oh, okay.
It folds up beautifully. And then a couple of sleeping bags. So they can be really lightweight sleeping bags. It's probably at night going to be around 50, but that's not bad. That's 50 Fahrenheit. But it'll get 80 in the daytime up in the mountains.
Yep.
So Okay. Dress accordingly. Have a sweater, but have some light clothes too. Whatever. Yeah. I'm sure we brought stuff. We're agents. We know that there's going to be something up. So, I have a green box in town, but I can't think of anything in my green box that I need. So, I've got a flashlight. I've got, you know, canteen, water. That's about it. It should be fine.
So but we might, canteen.
if we can think of something else on the way, maybe we want to approach this differently. Maybe we want to interrogate these two.
So for the sake of time, we'll say that you've gone through the camping gear. You've gotten pretty much everything you think you need. Unless there's something odd or unusual that you need to tell me about, but we'll say basic camping gear.
Yeah.
You found the plane okay. You know, it's a government plane. You get on board. It seems rather super secret. You arrive. Why don't one of you, who's feeling lucky, decide amongst yourselves who wants the role?
Go on, Lucky. Nobody wants to be lucky. All right, I'll try to be lucky.
I'm looking at the character sheet. I'm not even sure where luck is on this.
Luck with Delta Green is a standard 50%.
Okay.
As it is in the entire universe.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I've rolled a 100. I have never rolled. I mean, not in a
you
long.
You are banished
time.
From
no,
the dice.
No. Remember, you rolled that last week.
Maybe, but that's I don't usually roll 100.
And here you were, just bragging a minute ago about.
And the plane goes down. We all die.
I didn't want it to rely on my
flames
life.
Out of my face. You know, and the adventure's over.
Bragging about
I
not
always
sleeping.
Die in these things. I die on every adventure I go on. Thank God I belong to that religion, and I believe in reincarnation too. Like
what? Heaven's Gate?
No, the I Am people that are up in Shasta.
The Raelians.
Roll me 1d6.
1d6. 6.
That's how many bullets man. Come flying through the plane's fuselage and tear into your skull.
Go ahead.
What so
horrible thing has just happened?
When the plane gets to land at the Rogue Airport,
they go to land, and they've been informed that there's been no flight plan filed, and the airport will not let them land. So you guys have just spent 6 hours flying around in circles waiting for land.
See, this is where naps come in handy.
We could have just...
One of my bullets on the pilot? Why?
Remember, you only have one in your shirt pocket, so use it wisely.
I've got one in my shirt pocket, but I've got a whole gun full of them in my... Well, wherever. All right. Well, shit. So now it's what?
Do you want to push the roll?
Push my luck roll? Does that actually
work? I'll let you re-roll it, but under the condition that something worse might happen.
Yeah, no. What if I rolled a double zero again? No, I'll settle for how horrible it was.
Okay.
So basically, we just ate up our entire cushion of time.
Yeah. Yes.
So once we land at the airport, we need to get in the Jeep Cherokee and haul ass.
Yes.
All right, Agent Ty. Hope you got a lead foot, brother.
Hey, maybe these people are flaky and they won't, you know, they're supposed to arrive there at 8:30. Maybe they'll hang around and go later on in the day, or they'll be beat. They'll be beat after their long travels, and they'll want to sleep in the hotel before they go up to something. Let's keep our fingers crossed. I'm the lucky one, so let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, when you live on yogurt and granola, your energy is pretty, you know, pretty high, I think. So fingers crossed there.
All right.
Agent Skolnick, can you give me an idea roll?
I can. Idea. Where's idea roll on the sheet?
Sorry, that would be your intelligence.
Your intelligence. I missed it by 2.
That's close enough.
All right.
So during this time up in the air, you don't have a whole lot to do except think about the mission. And I will point out that you have some information already that perhaps you can get more information about. And if you need a further hint, I'll give it to you.
Can you repeat the first hint? Say it again. I've got information.
You have information now. You've already, you know, Judith has given you quite a bit of information. Mm-hmm. So there's probably something you could do.
Quit kicking the bucket.
Do you have a laptop?
I do. I have many laptops and gadgets and wondrous technology.
Corey, do you have a bucket under your desk?
I do.
Don't ask why it's there.
All right. Yeah, why don't you look up some of this stuff that we've...
So we were supposed to get printouts of the websites, like the Saucer Watch website. They said that is, you know, it probably looks like it was done in HTML 20 years ago.
Right.
Complete with flashing GIFs and things like that. Right.
A couple like rotating fire alarm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, head. Exactly.
Yeah.
Can you give me just a nudge in the right direction?
Sure. Agent Judith has given you their names, some of their names. So perhaps you could go in and find additional information that might help you.
Right. Yeah. We can let our fingers do the walking through Agent Google. We could look up some of these people. You know, we've got Hal Jameson. We've got Anton Odbesi. I can't read my own writing. Kobesi. Yeah. Kobesi. There we go.
And his wife, Dina.
Yeah, Dina Kobesi. We've got Paul Giordano. We've got Doug Anslinger. So if I do just kind of a cursory Google, you know, no Bing, just Google, and on each of these people, you know, do I do I bring up anything of interest? Does anything kind of stand out that doesn't really meld? But we've also got Laurel McAfee. She's mm-hmm. the secretary at the Sheriff's Department. She's the supposed leak.
Right.
That fed it to Sasha Watch. We've also got, yeah, she's the, let's see, Shasta Last 62.
Yep.
So if I just kind of use my computer science skill and do some, not cursory Googling, but maybe let's dig a little bit deeper and go down a level or two beyond Google. You know, maybe I can find credit reports. Maybe I can pull phone records, something that can challenge a hacker. What am I going to pull up on these people that would really be useful to us?
Yeah, sure. So you mentioned a credit report. Why don't you give me a computer science role for her financial information?
All righty. Yep. I succeed. I guess we don't have hard successes, medium, yeah, and extreme.
So just so everybody knows, so Delta Green's a little bit easier than Call of Cthulhu in that there's no hard or extreme. It's just pass. Well, there's critical pass, fail, and critical fail. Hmm. Both of the two criticals, critical pass and critical fail, happens when you roll doubles. Right? So
So I rolled, you know, my computer science is a 68, and I actually rolled a 55. So is that a critical pass?
Since critical it's pass.
Exactly. Okay. Yep.
Coolio.
Nice. So if there's anything specific, I will try to answer it for you. But what I was going to point out is that you managed to get into her bank account, and you see that there's a payment from Saucer Watch.
To Laurel?
Yeah.
And what's the amount of the payout?
It's only $100.
So they paid her for the info.
Yeah, it's not like they're the most generous UFO club, but, you know, hey, $100 is $100. You can't be making a lot as a secretary for the Sheriff's Department. So if we dig a little bit deeper into Laurel, what about her debt situation? What about her credit cards? What about her mortgage? What about her rent? What about her car payments? You know, is she kind of skint and she's looking for cash?
I will say there's nothing unusual. You know, like the typical American, she's probably about $10,000 to $12,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. So $100 could help with bills, or it could just mean a night out on a town that she needs drastically.
Right.
Why don't you try looking up if Laurel has any extraneous relationship with Giordano or Anslinger? How does she know the information that she knows? I mean, she is the secretary in the, but
so maybe, she probably typed up the arrest reports, yeah, right?
That would be a good assumption, or at the very least, maybe overheard them talking,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're, you know, paragons of security up there, probably. So she probably makes the coffee, answers the phones, types up the reports, you know. And, you know, she's not disgruntled, but she's $100 is $100.
Yeah.
Can you hack into the police, see if we can find out anything more about Anton and, I mean,
Can I try to hack their computer and get a copy of the actual reports?
I meant Giordano and Anslinger.
So,
do they have records?
I will let you do that, but I want to warn you that if you do that, you're talking about government agencies now.
I work for the government agency.
Yeah, but they'll still hunt you down.
So, I think I would require a critical success. Mm-hmm. To get into that, and if you fail, you're probably going to raise some red flags.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll avoid that. So, I mean, to me, it strikes me as these two guys. I mean, we saw their pictures. It's not like they're, you know, I seriously doubt that there's you know, you peel it back and they're pot growing hippies just looking to make a buck.
But back in the day when pot was really illegal, I mean, there were some, this was like in the days of bootleg whiskey. This was the bootleg pot, and it was all up there in the mountains, and those fields were well hidden, booby trapped, and hikers went missing out in that area. And it was probably because they stumbled into the wrong place and they were murdered. And I can recall at least one case where a couple of hikers were found murdered in their sleeping bags.
Sure. But again, that was back when dinosaurs ruled the earth, and this is 2017. And our attitudes toward pot and things of that nature have gotten a lot more relaxed.
Well,
you know, and it now, granted, is, I don't know if it's legal or not in Oregon. Is it? I have no idea.
Well, this is California. It's not in Oregon. We're landing in Oregon, but we're going into
California. Okay. That's right. So,
Yeah, well, and I'm not sure if they're operating without a license, then it's illegal, even if it is
legal. The only two I think that are legal is Washington and Colorado right now. That's fully legalized.
Right, as opposed to some sort of medicinal.
Well, and I think that's also optional as far as the federal government is concerned, because the federal government.
Exactly, because I was just going to mention that. That's what you're talking about, state law, federal law. It's still totally illegal.
Yeah. States' rights. Yeah.
So they would have reason to murder people if they stumbled into their field. Plus, there are rivals, and if they're growing some sort of strain that they're really proud of, then they will murder somebody who stumbles into their territory. So, well, we got to be careful.
Oh, absolutely.
Got to watch for trip wires. Watch for anything that might, you know.
So, have we landed yet?
You can if you want. Do you want to look in at anybody else while you're flying around?
What about record? Hal Jameson, and how about Hal and Anton?
Okay. Pick one and roll for it.
I'll take Hal Jameson first. 28 out of 68.
Okay. Nothing totally unusual pops up other than he is kind of, I guess, what you would call like an officer of Saucer Watch. You know, he's kind of involved with running the website, taking the initial phone calls, reports. When you search their website, you see his name is scattered about everywhere. So he's got his hands in everything. If there's anything specific I can tell you, but other than that, nothing really jumps out at you.
Okay, so we'll do Dina and Anton. Let's look for them a little bit.
Okay.
Oh. I did not make that roll.
Who do you want that to count for, Dina or Anton?
Dina.
Okay.
So we'll try for Anton this time.
Yep.
5 out of 68. I know everything about him.
So I will tell you. Anton is 41 years old. He's obviously a UFO enthusiast. His wife is 37 years old. One second, I'm trying to find. There it is. Anton is an 8th grade earth science teacher from Eureka, California.
Eureka or Wairika?
Eureka.
Okay. That's on the coast.
How about if we start looking into the Cobessi's credit reports, debt, mortgages, things of that nature? Anything standing out that
Sure. You got a really good roll for that last one. Go ahead and roll again, and as long as you don't get a crit fail, I'll give you whatever you want to know.
All right. No, 41 out of 68.
Okay. There's it actually comes up. They're clean. There's been no nothing unusual. They seem stand-up citizens.
All right. So who?
Maybe there's even more you can find out by looking at their website or their Facebook page. They might reveal stuff that you might not even find in the official records. You know, who I
now,
am and what I do.
I know I was discouraged against breaking into the Cisco County Sheriff's Department, but what if I wanted to look at, say, the root directories of their website, see what type of documents they're keeping there, and maybe looking at the forum, maybe looking at the traffic, looking at the IP addresses that are coming in and going out of it, especially around the time of this sighting that we're going to investigate.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Go ahead and roll.
58 out of 68.
Okay, perfect. So with your skills, you managed to get into their database and you find their message board. And it was password protected, but you cracked that rather easily. Which, by the way, just a little side note, this laptop that you're using, is it your personal laptop?
It's one that was actually, it's one that was issued to me by my employers, but I've modified it with some black hat hacking and stuff like that to kind of mask myself. I'm kind of using what I did to break the law to kind of hide myself and my employer to kind of make sure that I leave no breadcrumbs behind.
Gotcha. All right, cool. So on this message board, it's like their private messaging sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that there you've been in communication with two other people.
Okay.
Give you their names are Bert Tutman and Connie. I don't know how to say it, but I'm going to say Pietz, Pietz.
And who's been communicating with Bert and Connie? Is this Hal and Anton or Dina? What's the circle I'm looking at here?
Yeah, we'll say it's all four of them. They're all four in communication with each other. And basically, after reading through it, you find out that they are the four that are now going to be headed up into the mountains.
So Bert, Connie, Dina, and Anton.
Correct.
All right.
Not Hal.
Not Hal.
So let's do some more Googling. Let's see what Bert and Connie are about.
Okay.
Okay, this roll is for Bert.
Sure.
14 out of 68.
Nice. You find his information rather easily. He's got a profile set up on the Saucer Watch website. He's an older gentleman. He's about 62 years old. Typical like UFO buff, you know, he's into driving out and trying to find evidence, and he's got posts all over the website. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of information about Connie, so you don't even have to roll for her. Mm-hmm. But from the way they're talking, it sounds like she and Dina are friends.
Anybody else have any ideas before? I mean, I guess we're going to be wheels down here in a minute, and we'll be driving, and and internet access will be at a premium. So, is there anything else? Anybody have any ideas on what else you'd like for me to look for?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what we're trying to find out. All we're really trying to find out is the location of that pot field, yes? So that we can go find this UFO.
Yeah.
I think arriving there, getting most of the way towards the field, and then following somebody covertly to get to the field
Let's do Occam's razor here. If I look on the saucer, I mean, I'm in the Saucer Watch website,
mm-hmm.
and I have free reign.
Yeah.
Are those coordinates to, of the pot field, are they in there in their emails, private communications, tweeting? Instant messages?
That could be it.
That's all a good question, and you kind of are wondering this because you would think that if Judith found out all that information that she would have given you the coordinates. But with the roles that you've made, you can't find that information. So they must have been protective of that. They must be aware that this is important, and they didn't really want to know.
They don't want 500 people showing up there.
Right.
Yeah, that could be a bad thing, but...
Yeah, that's probably it.
I will tell you this. They are scheduled to arrive at around 8:30 this morning, which it almost is now. And they're planning on hiking out first thing the next morning.
Yeah, okay. I figured they would want to sleep when they get there. Yeah. I'm wondering also if maybe we could call them investigators. Yes, I mean they're not on our caliber, but they're investigators. That's why they're going out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to a certain degree. Yeah.
What if we were to pose as someone who knows Paul Giordano and Doug Anslinger, and we could be like, yeah, we could show you where that place is, you know, or something like that. Make friends with them, or discourage them. We could tell them, oh, those guys are just a bunch of nuts, you know. There's no point in going out there. What a long way to go for absolutely nothing. Maybe they'd leave. I don't know. There's a lot of courses, a lot of different directions we can go on this one. We could all just show up in black suits and with, you know, hold up the little thing and say, you're not going to remember any of this.
Yeah.
We are the Men in Black.
I've seen the Mothman Diaries. I know what happens.
We could be like... yes, you know, we would like to recruit you into our group. Meet us at such and such a place tomorrow afternoon and then never show up. No. Did we hallucinate it? Was it real?
Well, if there's nothing else that you think I need to look up or whatever, then I'll just shut the laptop down. We'll be wheels down, get in the Cherokee, and drive like heck to, you know.
Happy camp.
Yep. Happy camp.
Yep. Okay, sounds good.
But we'll Roger that.
So it's roughly 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
You arrive at Happy Camp. It's a beautiful day.
We didn't get to go through Wairika and Callahan and.
All right, Julie, our cruise director.
Yeah, there's the big old Sasquatch.
I thought that was awesome when I found it.
Yeah. this is where. I think that Bigfoot's been seen like 200 or 300 times in this area. So, yep.
Okay, so you arrive in Happy Camp. What would you like to do?
What time is it?
It's about 8:30 in the morning.
Well, we have time if we want to get breakfast. If they're not going to go up there until tomorrow.
Yeah, you basically have a full day to try and come up with a plan.
What is, yeah, you know what? I would go for breakfast.
Why don't every one of you give me a constitution roll?
Yeah, I pass. 29.
Give me critical, 1 second.
Critical pass.
Oh, nice.
Well, the air up there smells so fresh. So sweet. It's wonderful.
I spend most of my time behind a computer desk, so fresh air stuns me into health.
It's all evergreen pine forests all around you. It's just it's wonderful.
I fail.
Fail? Okay.
The windy roads.
The sausage and eggs does not agree with you.
Corey, could you take, Chemist, could you take 1 point off of your willpower? Okay. We'll say that the other two were able to get a sleep in during the flight, but for some reason you just couldn't get to sleep and you're all wound up. And so you're feeling the fact that you've been up all night long.
Okay.
Okay, so you guys are at breakfast.
All right. Pancakes, sausage, eggs.
Coffee, plenty of it.
And it tastes delicious.
Coffee so thick you can stand up a spoon in it.
Probably I haven't been there. I'm sure the restaurants that I used to go to aren't there anymore. The Ranch House. It's probably called the Ranch House. The Ranch House. So, gentlemen, should we... First of all, since we got a little bit of time, we can see if the general store has any extra gear that we didn't get. They'll definitely have stuff for camping, hunting, and stuff like that.
Now, yeah. Are we in civilian clothes? Are we in our fish and wildlife outfits?
What are we doing here? As I understood it, you basically went right from the meeting to the plane to the jeep. So okay. I don't think you had a chance to change or anything yet.
Okay.
Well, in our hotel room, we'll change to our fish and game.
Okay. Did you get a hotel? That's what I was trying to. Oh, yeah, I don't think we ever landed on a decision on that.
Well, before breakfast, we'd probably go straight to the hotel.
Okay. Is it the same hotel that they're in then?
Skellhaven. Yep. Yeah, if they've got a room available. You should have called ahead.
Give me a luck roll, just as long as you don't get a critical fail.
Oh, boy. I got a 92, which is a fail, but it's not a critical fail.
We are not letting you touch the dice for the rest of the game. Now we're going to be sleeping in a ditch somewhere because you can't roll dice.
Hey, I could have gotten a 98, and it still wouldn't be a critical
fail. Then it would just be a wet ditch we're sleeping in.
So let's say that they only have two rooms available, so two of you are going to have to room together.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Corey can't. Say that again, Jeff. We're going to what? They only have two rooms available?
Two rooms available, so two of you are going to have to room the same.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That is fine. Who's going to take the...
We're professionals. I don't care. I don't care one way or the other.
Well, also, is it just one bed in each room, or is there, two beds in each room?
Yeah, we'll say, in the double.
Usually it's, two double beds or two fulls or something like that.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's actually no big deal for me, so.
Yeah.
You should have made it really interesting. It's just two big king-size beds.
We're all friends here.
Mm-hmm. We're professionals. All right. So we've got our rooms. We've changed into our clothes. My brain just went out. Our fatigues.
Okay, the game warden.
I would actually let's not do that quite yet, because if we're going to go around town, walking around, going to the store, there's going to be questions. And I don't know about you, but my fish and wildlife knowledge is little to none. So if we're just campers, if we're just, bachelor party, whatever the hell, we're just nondescript civilians walking around looking for supplies, we're just passing through, and then maybe we save the fish and wildlife uniforms for when we're on the road, to go meet them or intercept them or something like that, because then it gives you a little bit more air of authority as opposed to people asking questions around town. Why is there three of them? What are they investigating? What's going on here? Outrage, you know?
I'll tell you what. Tell them that if anybody asks, tell them that we're just we're here from the coast, and we're planning on walking the Pacific Crest Trail, which a lot of people do that. We're just hikers. And then, like you say, we'll use our disguises when we're out.
Okay. Yeah. Out in the woods.
We don't have to have our, you know, our uniform for the fish and wildlife. We can just have our regular clothing, and then as soon as we go on the trail, then we can put them on.
Yeah. So just be hikers. That's a good reason. That's a good reason to go into the general store and get stuff.
We're hikers. We hike.
Hopefully they'll have some delicious pemmican.
Hey, call back to the Mountains of Madness.
Pemmican.
All right.
Pemmican. That stuff's awful. I don't care.
It actually is really good.
Really?
You can get it online. I thought so hard about buying some. Just
who was it that went on Amazon? Was it Jeff that went on Amazon?
I was so tempted, but it was like I had to buy it in bulk.
I just imagine it's like corned beef hash, kind of. It's like potatoes and meat and kind of a grease.
It's sort of like fruits and nuts.
I think that's what it is. It's like a fruitcake nobody wants. I think that's what it is nowadays. It's not what it used to be in the 20s.
Okay.
All right, folks. Let's keep going.
Move it along, people.
All right.
Nothing to see.
So we get all of our gear, I assume.
Yeah, so we'll say you stop for breakfast, you enjoy your meal, you got your hotel room, you're settled in, you change into, quote, normal street clothes for that area. So you kind of look like it, you know, like I said, touristy type.
So could we say that it's about 10 o'clock?
Sure, that's fine.
You know, guys, we could drive up there and take a look around and see if we can find it ourselves. We got plenty of time.
It's fine by me because they're not going to be up there. They're not even going to head out till tomorrow morning.
What do you think?
I'm fine by me. We got plenty of daylight to burn. I don't want to be up there. I don't want to be up there in, you know, dusk or night. But
probably get a. We could probably in the general store get a topographical map. They have those a lot that will at least show us, you know, we've got a general knowledge of where it is.
Right. Basic orienteering. Right.
That'll show us where a lot of the roads are and where a lot of the trails are.
Yeah. So it'll be better than old Agent Scully's intelligence, maybe.
All right. So that's what we're going to do. You agree, Chemist?
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So hold on to your hats, because when I drive up these roads, I don't do it that slow, but they're going to be seriously windy with a lot of razor backs and switchbacks. So if you guys get sick, just if you start to get sick, just tell me and I'll pull over for a few minutes.
It's a Jeep Cherokee. Just stick your head over the side.
Yeah, but you want to recover.
You don't want any blowback.
No, you won't get better after just throwing up. You'll just keep heaving if you don't stop for 5 minutes and get your breath. All right, so can we do that? Can we head out?
Yeah. I'm hesitating.
Unless something happens in town that you want us there for.
Well, in my mind, I'm picturing this as a heavily wooded area.
Extremely. In fact, and, almost impenetrable in places.
And I have a sense that if these weed farmers are trying to remain hidden, you guys are going to be like looking for a needle in the haystack.
They will be hidden, yeah.
Probably.
So I don't want to necessarily tell you no. I just want to say
you could be wasting the entire day searching for something that is going to be extremely difficult to find.
So as I read between the lines, putting on my turban, my mind reading turban, we kind of, maybe we want to wait till tomorrow and either trail them or meet them on the trail or somehow run into this group of four. We're fish and wildlife, we're fellow UFO investigators, we're lost hikers. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the play. We're lost hikers. Can you help us? Do you have a car? You know, can we, you know, we'll go with you where you are going if you will give us a ride back to town. I mean, there's a couple of different ways here, but I think that the way that maybe we need to, you know, burn the rest of this day, have a good steak, have a beer, you know, get up early tomorrow morning, kind of talk about how we want to meet these people and go from there.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I hate to be a GM that says no, but I'm trying to caution you against it. But let's do this. Why don't each of you roll, and then if any of you gets a critical success for, let's see, you're basically searching. So if any of you has the search skill.
I do.
And you get a critical success on the search, I'll say that you find the path to the weave.
Oh my gosh. All right.
But let me just finish that real quick. So I think, though, that if that were to happen, I think we'll probably end the episode early, and then we'll pick it up from there tomorrow night.
Well, I was just thinking that we have all of today in Happy Camp, and we know that they're in Happy Camp. And there's one hotel, one little tiny restaurant, cafe, really, and a general store. It's very likely.
So that we could run into them even earlier.
Yeah, we could be running into them. We could. What if we pretended to be locals that knew a lot about the area, and maybe we could get them to take us with them?
See, that's a dangerous play because we're not locals. And all it would take is maybe five questions to blow our cover.
But I am, and I live not far from here. I know all this.
You can be a local, and we can be your out-of-town visitors. Yeah. But you don't want to expose us all to that same danger. If you can fake it, great. We'll be your out-of-town cousins or, you know, old college buddies or whatever. But again, you know, I think the key here is invisibility. And yeah. I'm not going to pass myself off as a local, no matter how you slice it.
Me either.
Well, you're probably right. Somehow, if we could,
but that doesn't preclude us from running into them. You know, again, Occam's razor. What's the simplest solution here? We're out of towners because we are out of towners. We're here hiking. Let's keep the lies to a minimum and tell as much of the truth as possible so we're not trying to remember our lies. Well, and just run into them, buy them a steak, buy them drinks. Oh, you like UFOs? That's so interesting. Tell me more. Let's use our human intelligence to gain their confidence.
We're trying to find a way to get them to take us with them.
Yes, and so... Okay.
But I think, if you were them, would you take strangers who just were out for hikes? Or would you take somebody who was extremely interested in UFOs or perhaps knew the territory or at least knew it somewhat?
Right. Here, I can see both sides of the coin that you're trying to toss. Because why did they keep the coordinates so secret? Saucer Watch wants the glory. Saucer Watch wants the exclusive.
Well, and they know that if they said something, 8,000 people would show up to.
Yeah,
that's what they
want. How suspicious are they going to be if just so happens that something they have worked so hard to keep secret suddenly attracts three UFO? I mean, have there? The only saving grace would be if there's past sightings here, And that's what brings us.
Well, like I say, the whole area is filled with sightings of Bigfoot, sightings of...
Right. But has there been a recent flap?
I don't know. There's
say within the past month.
Like constant and ongoing here.
Yeah. So...
And psychologically, you know that it's just people who want attention.
Sure. That's really and they also is. Probably want to meet other people who are into the same things. It's like a big meetup.com, you know? So I think we can pass ourselves off as UFO enthusiasts.
Well, yeah. And the fact that that they have websites and all this stuff and that they publish stuff, they want to share with everyone. They don't want to share it with 800 people right now. But believe me, once they get there, and if they find something, they're going to share it with everyone. Right. So their enthusiasm might betray them. They might let slip information.
Their enthusiasm would get us in the door, right? That may get us invited along on the road trip.
Were you able on your laptop to find out what they looked like?
We know two of them, right?
No, I'll say that information was available to you.
We know what they look like. We know them on site.
So we know what they look like.
Yeah.
We know a little bit about them. We know about their website. What about this? We sit in the restaurant. You know, it's lunchtime coming up. We sit in there at lunch. I'm sure they'll probably show up for lunch. If they show up for lunch, we eavesdrop, we listen. And as soon as they say something about Saucer Watch,
we're there. Or they have a shirt maybe with the logo on it or something. Something we need to get our foot in the door.
Right. And then we suddenly go, pardon me, but are you associated with Saucer Watch? Because we follow that website, you know, so you better follow the website really quick. Something that will get us in the door with them.
Yeah. But I think this is where human comes into play. Mm-hmm. And psychology comes into play. Because they're going to want to talk to us, yes. But are we going to get invited along on the road trip if they're playing their cards for this particular flap so close to their chest?
I'm pretty
damn good at persuading people. We can also follow them too.
Yeah, we've got a lot of different ways of doing this. So, I think that's what we should try.
Let's definitely engage. Let's initiate contact with them, and have a conversation and go from there.
Well, why don't we keep an eye out on the cafe? Surely they're going to come out of that hotel and go into that cafe. And let's go in right after them as if we're just getting lunch. Sit at the booth right next to them, maybe.
Sounds good.
Listen to what they're talking about. As soon as they say Saucer Watch, we go, oh, excuse me, you know Saucer Watch? We, you know. Then we're in.
It would probably also behoove us to maybe become instant experts in, at least at a high level, so we can carry on conversations about UFOs.
Well,
certain flaps, certain conspiracies. I mean, whatever we need to do, we need to walk the talk.
Right. Well, you got your laptop.
Mm-hmm.
That's an idea roll there, Skolnick.
Idea roll, I can.
And
idea is intelligence?
Yes.
Made it. 73 out of 85.
Okay. One thing pops in your mind that Judith used a term that was only like UFO experts would know, is that Valley 1A incident.
Yes.
So that's definitely one piece of information you could use.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can do a computer search if you want to. But I don't even think you need to roll because, I mean, you just need to go to any UFO conspiracy site and pick up the lingo.
Yep, exactly. For people like us, agents like us, it's an hour or two at best, learning the high points. Just being able to kind of carry on a conversation, because as long as we kind of drop the lingo, you know, our secret is going to be getting them to talk. All we need to do is ask them questions, and they're going to talk.
Yep.
And that's going to build rapport, and that's going to get us invited on the road trip.
Something else to consider is that we are occult investigators, we probably know a lot of this like the back of our hand.
That is a very good point.
Yeah.
You know, we do this all the time.
this is the world you live in.
Right.
So we can quote people and quote books and all sorts of shit like that. So,
chemist, right. Give me a luck roll, please.
Okay. I miss it by one.
What did you get?
Well, it's luck, right? So it's
51.
51.
Oh. Give me a roll 1d4.
Just 1 second. I will get a d4.
Two. So after sitting there for about 2 hours, you do see them exit the hotel, and sure enough, that restaurant is pretty much the only restaurant in town. Yep. And it's close. It's right across the street, basically. So you see them heading out of the hotel, heading towards the restaurant.
Cool. Shall we, gentlemen?
Yep. Let's do this.
All right. So there are other people heading into.
Yeah, we'll say it's around 1:30 in the afternoon, so it's a little bit later than normal. But yeah, there's a few people at the counter. There's a waitress comes out. She has to take your order. Can I get you guys anything special?
Fried chicken sounds good.
What's the special of the house? What do y'all make really good here? Better than anybody?
The Sam Squatch burger.
I'll take it. Extra Sam Squatch.
What? Yeah, I was just gonna say, what's your special of the day?
Yep, Sam Squatch burger.
If you can eat it in one sitting, you get your picture on the wall.
It's a cheeseburger with a bunch of those shaved onions, like dried fried onions.
Dried so fried onions. Like
fur, maybe. So.
Fried onions. Try it.
I should have, I just realized I should have warned you guys about noon in Happy Camp, actually in all of the towns around here. All of these towns have air raid sirens, and at noon they go off. And the reason why is because...
To call people for lunch?
Well, there are people logging up in the hills and so forth, and it tells everybody in the area, everybody in the valley, that it's lunchtime. So, yeah. The first time you hear it, it scares the crap out of you. Because it's just like it is in the movies.
But,
that's funny.
Yeah. Well, luckily, it's after lunchtime, so we've probably... Yeah. The rush has already gone through, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's also their fire alarm, by the way. If there's a forest fire.
And fire there are forest or lunch.
Fires. Fire or lunch.
Oh, yeah. If it rings like two or three times, that means, you know, everybody comes running from the... It'll all be volunteer fire department in this area. All right.
So we'll say you guys are able to get a booth right behind them. They're making idle chit-chat. You're making idle chit-chat. There's also a couple at the booth behind you guys. Okay. Everybody give me a listen roll.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't think I have listen, right? Search, I guess, would be the best.
Well, I got a 2.
Oh, that'll work.
I can try to get a critical. So, no.
Did you pass, though?
I passed, but I was trying to go for the critical.
I did not pass. I was busy trying to listen to the other booth or something.
You know? All you could hear was the crunching of the burger.
Of the mighty Sam Squatch burger, which is so delicious. Medium rare.
You're engulfed in your sandwich.
Yes.
We'll say, chemist, you hear the booth behind you, and it's a couple, and they're talking about Bigfoot.
All right.
Okay.
from your listening in on their conversation, now you're only picking up bits and pieces of it, but from the talk of what they're talking about, apparently there was a sighting about 4 days ago.
4 days ago.
So there's some buzz in the town as far as it's, and it's all the usual buzz. You know, some people are like, oh, it's real. It's real. It's got to be real. I've seen it. My grandfather saw him and ran into it. And then there's the other half of the town that's like, it's just a rumor. But the town kind of thrives on it too. So, you know, they're not too quick to put it down.
Sure. It's like a Roswell. It's like it's part of the tourist trade. Now, just help me visualize. I'm visualizing three booths in a row.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so which I assume that like it's like moving from left to right, it would be Saucer Watch and then us.
Yep.
And then Bigfoot.
Yep.
Like a diner. Yeah.
Yep.
Got it.
And then Agent Ty, you hear the Saucer Watch people talking and same thing. They're idle chit chat talking about the trip that they had getting here. And then you can hear them start to talk about UFOs. So if you want to use that as your opening, you can.
I'm sorry, they're talking about?
They're talking about UFOs.
Oh, UFOs.
Yeah.
UFOs. That's so your cute big daddy.
I'm going to use, I guess, my human intelligence.
Yep.
To sort of break into the conversation and be like, oh, so you guys, UFO people, we are too, you know.
Oh, really?
Should I roll for it? I don't know.
that's fine. We can. So yeah, you get their attention, and they turn around, and they seem like nice people. They generally seem nice. Mm-hmm. Bill, right? No, wait. What did I say? Anton,
Dina,
Bert,
and Connie.
Anton. Yeah, Anton turns around and he talks with you, and he's like, "Oh, really?" He's like, "What brings you up in this area?"
Well, mostly we're just going to go climb up on the we were planning on doing the Pacific Crest Trail, but you know we've always been interested in you know, this is Sasquatch territory. I think those people were talking about Sasquatch over there, and you know, I love the whole UFO stuff. Very interesting. Have you ever by chance read that, seen that, the hell's that website? Saucer Watch. It's really kind of a cool, you know, website. Keep up on all the sightings and stuff like that.
I should make it a roll, a subtlety roll or something.
Well, how about persuade?
No, I'm just joking. So with that, he'll like reach down to his polo shirt and he'll point to his shirt, and he's got a big Saucer Watch logo on it.
There you go.
Oh my God, are you with those people? I mean, are you? Wow, you're enthusiasts too, huh?
Yeah, you've heard of us?
Sure. I mean, you got a fantastic website.
Oh, thank you.
And then I throw out some things like that article that, you know, that on blah blah blah.
Yeah, maybe I showed them some of the print, some of the message boards, you know, some of the discussions that were going on, so that they could talk, you know, about the so it looks like we've been to the website and we've been reading the conversations and the message threads, so we can kind of it gives us more credibility.
Well, and like I say, it's our job. I mean, that's what we are.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you never know what they're talking about specifically. Right. So if we're fans of the website, you got it.
And then, of course, what I do is I embellish that all with other stuff, mm-hmm. other websites and other things that we've been, you know.
Like whether it's MUFON, you know, whether you're a trained MUFON investigator, you know, whether you've been to Gulf Breeze, Roswell, you know, seen the Phoenix Lights, you know, you've kind of, you know, hit all the high points of recent ufology and, you know, maybe bring up a few bones of contention so we can engage them a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also bring up that, if, you know, a subtlety, bring up that 1A, the incident, or did we?
No, 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 no. That's a secret. Don't bring
no.
that up.
No, we can't talk about that. Remember, no one's supposed to know about that but them.
Yeah.
Right.
On a scale of like 1 to 10, with like 10 being a complete UFO expert and a 1 being like a newbie, can you give me a sense as to like what level are you trying to pass yourselves off as?
Well,
I would say at least a 6 to 8. You know, I think if we're really into this, you know, if we're really spending all hours in front of our little computers and keeping up with everything that's going on in the UFO world, if we're, you know, we need to match their enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. We can't be more knowledgeable than them, because then, you know, it alienates them, but we can't be less knowledgeable than them, because then they're going to be less wanting to share their knowledge. I think we need to match their enthusiasm level, look for patterns of speech, look for their, you know, follow their cues. Let's ask questions and let them talk, as opposed to us trying to impress them with our knowledge. That's right. My idea.
I also think that we should at least throw in a little bit of private investigation that we've done ourselves in the area of UFOs, because then it looks like that we are actually very enthusiastic about investigating.
And they might need help investigating.
Well, we don't know that they're investigating yet.
We don't. But if we drop hints that we've gone here,
we're qualified.
You know, we've got these, you know, we've got these tools that we use out in the field. We take pictures, you know.
Yeah.
We take soil samples, you know, we look at the patterns of weather, you know, anything that a MUFON investigator would do out in the field when they go to investigate a flap. That's what these people do, and we have to match that so that we get invited along on the road trip.
Sounds good. Agent Ty, I think you're the only one that has skill in human.
Yeah, and I've got persuade.
The rest of you, I guess you have base, right?
I've got base human, but I've got a 40 in persuade.
Okay. Corey, do you have a skill that you think might come in use here? I'm not really seeing anything on your sheet, but if you find something.
I'll look at it right now and see.
Okay. So, Agent Ty, why don't you roll first?
Which one?
Whatever you think fits better. Either human or persuade.
Trying to read them psychologically and manipulate them.
Yeah.
So human intelligence. I got a 10.
Nice.
A 10 out of 80.
Nice. So you pretty much, you have Anton anyway, basically eating out of the palm of your hand. He's actually invited all three of you to sign up on their website and become members.
Excellent. Now, I've actually got a very high charisma score.
Okay, that would work.
So if I start looking at, not in a threatening way, but just kind of talking to the lady and kind of working that angle and seeing if they'll bring us into the fold, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And
you want me to roll for that? Or
Go ahead and roll, but I'm only going to say it like a crit fail, because you also role-played a lot of really good ideas too. So.
Yeah.
12.
Nice. So this plan is working. I'll tell you what, chemists, give me a search roll, because these guys are rolling really well. So I'm not even going to make you roll, because you don't really have a skill for that. Give me a search roll.
I pass that. Okay. With
that means you pick up the check. You find the check, and you pick it up, and you pay 50. For it.
54 out of 60. So
okay, that's fine. The one thing I'll tell you is that the older gentleman,
Bert
Tupman.
Yep.
He's got a look on his face like he's not so sure.
He's got old man suspicion.
Yeah, exactly. He's been doing this for a long time, and he just finds it a little strange that the coincidence. So he's just a little bit hesitant about all of this. he's basically he's just not as friendly and open as Anton is.
Okay. Too much Fox News. It's made him paranoid. Made him angry, jaded. Well, we just, you know, we either work harder to win Bert over, or we take 3 out of 4 and just watch ourselves around Bert.
So it's getting probably close to where we should end it. So what is your ultimate goal here? Let's kind of see if we can boil this down into a dice roll.
Let's work on, you know, during any time in the conversation, did they say, you know, we're leaving tomorrow morning, we're going investigating? Did they kind of tip their hand at all about what they're going to be doing tomorrow? And our goal should be to get invited on the trip, or do you need help investigating? You know, we can lend our talents. That is what I think our end goal should be.
Okay.
I think, yeah, our approach could be in conversation. It could be, so what are you guys all doing here? And if yep. they...
Yeah, because then if they lie to us...
No. If they hesitate, okay, they're like, they all look at each other like this. We'll go, oh my God, you're here investigating something, aren't you? Because that's mm-hmm. what you would
there
naturally
There you go. That's great. Assume. Yeah.
Enthusiasm. We want to help. We want to help. Yeah.
a little bit of fawning and kind of sucking up to them wouldn't hurt. You know, yeah. if you place them on a little bit of a pedestal.
Yeah, you've definitely done that. They're feeling, at least 3 out of 4 are feeling very comfortable around you. Right.
Yeah, that's...
And then from that point on, we go ahead and go there and investigate with them. We never let on that we're actually agents of...
No, there's no need. There's no need.
And then we make contingencies. If we find something interesting, we call Judith.
Or if things go sideways, then we take it as it comes, you know. But I think we just need to get invited on that road trip tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
that's the goal.
Yeah.
So let's see. Why don't you guys? You can tell me what skill you want to use. So if you have your skill points in the human int, or the persuade, or the charisma, basically just justify what you would think would be a good role in this situation. I'm basically letting you metagame it, like just pick something with a high skill stat that you'd like to use.
I'm going to use charisma.
My human intelligence.
Ladies.
Yep.
And I got a 67, which is a pass.
Okay. I got a 12 out of 70.
Nice. I don't know what I want.
Why don't, I'm looking at your sheet now.
I know it's.
You have very high intelligence.
Okay.
So let's say that while they're sort of pursuing the schmoozing aspect,
I'm going to just kind of like see if I can, you know, figure it out. Like, you know, okay, I'll roll my intelligence. I got a 60 out of passed.
That's perfect. I basically was. As long as you get neither one of you did a crit fail, I was going to give this to you. Because you guys came up with some really good ideas. So everything's just working according to plan. It's going smoothly. It's exactly how you said it, Tom, where you ask them, what are you doing here? And they all kind of quietly look at each other like, should we tell them? But with your schmoozing and everything, you've made them feel totally comfortable. And they're not even, at least the old man isn't. The others are like, they're kind of out here for fun. Like, this is a hobby for them, too.
Right.
So it's not like they're really expecting anything bad to happen out here or Delta Green agents to be following them. So, like, their guard is down. So with that, they do invite you to join them to help them search. Because basically, the more eyes, the better to hopefully find this thing.
Cool. And we can do the grunt work or whatever, the tape measures or, you know, whatever needs to happen. So, yeah, more
sometimes,
arms in the field.
Sometimes psychologically it also helps to have somebody along who's looking at us skeptically so that when our performance sort of wins them over, then they're all really won over, you know. By
well, they're gonna they're gonna follow the leader, and the leader, frankly, is probably Anton.
Yeah.
So as once you got Anton in the bag, everyone else is going to kind of fall in line, right? Because remember, his name's all over the website. He's probably the president, you know, emeritus, right, whatever. So once you, once Agent Ty, once you got him, the rest of us worked on the others, and they just kind of fell in the line, like you said, except for Bert.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And Bert's not even, he's not objecting at all. He's just, I'm just giving you that tip of psychology that he's just a little bit on edge. That's all.
Yeah, he's kind of, he seems kind of not really standoffish, but kind of on the fence.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. All right. I think we'll end it there unless anybody has something they want to add before we end it.
That's actually perfect.
That's perfect timing. Yep.
Cool. So. Let me go ahead and finish it up. Our players included Corey Heisted, Bill Mize, and myself, with Jeff Wilkins as the Keeper of the Secrets. I'm not sure yet what music I'm going to be using for this, but rest assured, they will be credited in the description below. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects in added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We provide audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Like, share, and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows. And leave us some comments. We love hearing from you. If you'd also like to help us out, you can visit our Patreon account. Just $1 or $2 a month will help us out a lot. You'll find links to everything I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Rayleigh, together with all the members of our gaming group, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.